Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Harrisonville United Methodist Church. It is awesome to have you with us. On this beautiful day outside, it's a beautiful day in the house of the Lord as well. Pastor John is on vacation after Easter and the marathon week that is. Many pastors around this country are taking this weekend off. But we are blessed to have Ellen Lake with us today, as she is with us every Sunday, to take us through a meaningful message in this time of worship. And so we are just here. So let's get our minds ready. Let's get our hearts ready for worship by listening to some beautiful music. Man, thank you, Charla. All right, and folks, would you stand with me and let's go to God in a call to worship. I'll be the leader and you be the response. We are called to be God's children. God's love has been poured on us through Jesus Christ. Fear and doubt are gone. Joy and celebration ring in our hearts. Come, let us raise our voices in song. Let us offer our hearts and souls to God in prayer and praise. Amen. We're going to start with the praise part. Awake My Soul is our first song. Here we go. 2, 3, and... And we're just going to sing it together. If you know this song, raise your voice. If you don't, just listen for a while. Come in when you can.
When I close my eyes, I can see. When I raise my hands, I can touch your face. When I stand on my knees, I stand before you. And Christ is more than me. lose myself. I reflect your image when I break my will. Then I am whole. When I give my life, I find life everlasting. And then Christ is whole.
This next song is called Goodness of God. Now, if you were with us for Maundy Thursday, we sang it there, and we've sang it at the table before as well. But for many of you, this might be a relatively new song. If you spend some time listening to Christian radio, it'll be right there for you as well. But if you want to listen a little bit, or if you just want to sing it with us, come on in, and Ellen will lead the way for us.
Running after, it's running.
give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Sing that chorus with me, will you? Here we go.
And all my life I have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
God, one more time, here we go.
And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Please be seated.
If you join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. You sent him and rose him from the grave, Lord. We are so thankful. You are a good God. We pray today that you be with all of us here, Lord. Show us joy and peace and your love. Let them surround us. Send your Holy Spirit down to be with us so that we may receive your word into our hearts today, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with all the needs that are on our hearts this day, Lord. We lift them to you, and you know the needs before we speak them. Heal the sick. Lift up the spirits of the weak. Give strength to those who are struggling this day, Lord. We ask that you be with our country. We ask that you be with the world, with the struggling needs that we know are out there, Lord. They break our hearts and they cause us to grieve. Lord, we ask that you give us peace and you show us that you are working in everyone's life all over this world, Lord. Today, Lord, on the Sunday after Easter, help us keep remembering the gift that you gave us so that if we repent, Lord, that you will forgive our sins and let us join with you in the life everlasting, Lord. What a powerful gift that you have given us. Lord, we pray this prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Yeah, there's a line in this next song, Me on Your Mind, I'm going to sing for you, maybe you know, maybe you don't. So if you don't know, when I say I've read the words in red in a Bible, turn to somebody, meet them, and say, hey, for a second, and find out what those red words in a Bible mean. Ready, go. I've read the words in red, how you leave the 99 to find the one missing. Feels like was written with me on your mind. And the prodigal son who ran, leaving his home behind, the part where the father came running to meet him, did you say that with me on your mind? Who am I that the king of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, come as you are? You paid the price, you took the cross, you gave your life, and you did it all with me on your mind. Me on your mind. Just knowing your mind full of me, just knowing you call me your child, is flooding my soul with unspeakable hope. Thank you, Lord, that it's me on your mind. Who am I that the king of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, come as you are? You paid the price, you took the cross, you gave your life, and you did it all with me on your mind. It was me on your mind. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, it was me on your mind. I've read the words in red of a heavenly home on high. You're preparing a place where the sorrow's erased, and when I stand before you, I'll find all along it was you on my mind. Who am I that the Lord of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, come as you are? You paid the price, you took the cross, you gained your life, and you did it all with me on your mind. With me on your mind.
Very appropriate song for this morning. Thank you, Kip. That was very great. So, Christ is risen.
Christ
oh my
is
goodness.
Risen
come
indeed.
On, guys.
Oh,
get excited. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ has risen. And we are here still celebrating the excitement and maybe, you know, if you follow disciples, a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of terrifying moments after the resurrection, right? Jesus is there. He's walking amongst some of them and showing himself to, you know, a few of the disciples here or there. He appears in the upper room with some of the disciples because they're not all together. You know, this time, have you ever had a moment in your life where you were just not sure what was going on? You're living through one of those tough times where you're like, I don't even know what the next step is. I'm stuck and I don't know where to go. You think the disciples were probably feeling a little bit of that because they had just seen their Lord Jesus crucified on a cross, But their eyes weren't open to the whole story. And even though Jesus had told them repeatedly, I'm coming back, I'm going to be raised from the dead, they didn't quite get that message. Even though Jesus told them time and time again, it's written in the Old Testament, all the prophets preached about it, I'm coming back. But the disciples just, it didn't quite sink into them. They're scared because they saw a bunch of people, you know, that were very angry in Jerusalem that, you know, they didn't like this Jesus guy. They wanted him dead, and they weren't sure if they were next. So, you know, they're having their meetings, they're talking to each other, and all of a sudden, you know, the women come back. Hey, we saw Jesus, he's alive. Yet the guys are kind of like, well, the women, you know, back then the women weren't, you know, really thought much of. And, you know, maybe they had that inkling of, well, I mean, I really hope he is, but, you know, the women said it. Let's go see for ourselves. So they run there, you know, Peter gets there and finds the linens folded laying in the tomb. And he's like, okay, what's going on here? Jesus isn't there. Stones rolled away from the tomb, but what happened? So we see Jesus come and walk with a couple of disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he's carrying on a conversation with them like nothing had ever happened. And, you know, trying to find out how much the disciples really understood of what was going on. And then he didn't tell them right then who he was, but he appeared later that evening after they had invited him to dinner that first time in a locked room with the disciples, and he appears to them. I mean, you can imagine the terror they might have had when they first saw him. You know, is this a ghost? Is this some kind of spirit? They didn't believe in resurrection at the time. They didn't think that the body, flesh and blood, would be alive and living after death. Because up until that point, nobody had done it, right? So the past 2 weeks, we've been in this sermon series called When Jesus. So Palm Sunday, 2 weeks ago, we heard Pastor John talking about when Jesus comes to town. So when Jesus came into Jerusalem and you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were meeting him from the front, right? And you had the followers from behind that were excited. They wanted to see who this Jesus guy was and if he really was the Messiah. So we had two opposing forces. So we learned from that, you know, maybe if Jesus came back today, probably wouldn't be much different, right? We have the believers who would probably be excited to see Jesus, and yet we have some of those who would be questioning, who might even be angry with Jesus, might even be like, no, this isn't happening. But I think we'd run into a lot of the same circumstances that they ran into back then. We also learned how we might identify who Jesus is. Let's face it, we haven't met him, right? We've read the scripture, we understand what he's taught. The disciples were with him, they learned from him, but if he walked through that door, would we really recognize him? So we learned some things that might identify Jesus to us if we saw him today. And so we also learned that we know he keeps his promises. He showed us that, you know, something that seemed pretty insignificant to us, like taking a donkey and returning it back to its owners, Jesus said, I'm going to be bringing it back. Jesus brought it back. And Jesus preached that he was going to be raised from the dead. And we know, and the disciples found out later, that yes, Jesus was raised from the dead. So Jesus keeps his promises. So then on Easter, we learned that when Jesus does the impossible, he came back from the dead. And I know it's still hard for us to understand that concept today, because let's face it, have you seen anybody raised from the dead in your lifetime? I know about me, I haven't seen anybody. But Jesus does say that someday when he comes back, we're all going to be raised. We're all going to be raised from the dead. And we are going to celebrate in, you know, glorious life everlasting with him. So there is that promise. But we know it happened. Jesus came back. He was in flesh and blood, talked to the disciples, showed them his wounds on his hands. It's possible, but we have to believe in the impossible in order for the impossible to happen. So we can't say that it's not going to happen. We probably won't see it even if it did happen. So in the back of your mind, in the back of your heart, we're like, okay, I know that is impossible, but Jesus did the impossible. So just maybe, maybe there's a chance that someday I can believe in the hope that Jesus said this was going to happen, so it's going to happen. And only if we believe in that will we see the true miracle when Jesus does come back. So today, we start off, our title today is When Jesus Meets Me, or I'm going to say When Jesus Meets You. So today, we're talking where our scripture picks up. We are talking about the second time Jesus appears to the apostles. Now, if you've ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories aren't all the same. And the order is kind of a little questionable of what happened first, second, third. Well, you have all these people, you know, like when you ask somebody their encounter of a story, you're going to get three different people's stories, and none of them are going to be the same. So this is true in the New Testament. We see if you go home today and literally read the last chapter of each of the four first books of the Gospel, the New Testament, you're going to find that that story is different. There's similarities, but they're all different. So you see in John, we talk about Thomas, we talk about Peter, and that's kind of the end of those books. Well, here in Luke, we end with the encounter of Jesus in the upper room with the disciples. He had appeared to them. This is the second time the disciples were gathered. We don't know who all was there. There's not a list. Most of the disciples are there. And at this point, maybe half of them had actually seen Jesus at this point. So here's where we pick up today. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly standing there among them, "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Can you see that it's really me? Touch me. Make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you can see that I do." And as he spoke, he showed them his hands. He showed them his feet. And still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder, and still terrified. He asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they all watched him. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and raise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are all witnesses of these things." Big words coming from Jesus and those poor, terrified disciples. But you realize that they didn't really, even though they were hoping, praying that this might really be Jesus in front of them, until he actually ate something in front of them to prove that he really was flesh and blood. Spirits don't eat food, so, you know, I mean, he ate in front of them, and they were watching very closely. He ate that food, and then as soon as he spoke, the disciples' minds and eyes were open. Remember I'd said earlier that Jesus had preached that he was raising from the dead a bunch of times, but the disciples just didn't quite understand until this moment. They knew the scripture. They knew what the Old Testament said. They knew what the disciple, you know, they knew what they had been taught since they were little kids. They had learned the Torah. They knew what it said. But now, with their minds open, they truly got Jesus' message. This is Jesus, the risen Lord. And Jesus asked them to preach to all nations. He didn't say just Jerusalem, just Turkey, just Egypt. He said all nations. everybody everywhere was allowed to hear the good news that if you repented, your sins were going to be forgiven. And really, that kind of sums up Jesus' teachings, his message. Besides the love your neighbor, we need to teach people that their sins are going to be forgiven if they believe and repent in Jesus. Very powerful message. So now the disciples are like, hey, we've got Jesus back. He's here. But if you read in some of the other gospels, you know that this is in that 3-day window before Jesus was ascended. So his earthly body leaves this world before he ascends. But he says, I'm going to send somebody to be with you. So he sends them later, if you keep reading the stories, he sends them the Holy Spirit. So in Acts, you see the Holy Spirit comes with them so that they can preach in other languages so that people would understand them. So have you ever been in a grocery store or been in some public place and somebody walks up to you and you're like, really know who that person is, but I can't think of their name? Or maybe you hear somebody talking somewhere around you and you're like, man, that sounds like so-and-so, but maybe you haven't seen them in a while, and maybe they've gotten a little older, maybe they've changed their hair color, or they're dressing differently, because maybe you only see them on Sunday and they're dressed in their nice clothes. But you have that niggling feeling in your brain, like, man, I know this person. And then they come up to you, or they turn around, and you're like, oh, I know who you are. I know, I've seen you before, and your name, all of a sudden, click, it's there, right? Kind of think that's how it was with the disciples. Like, they were with Jesus, and they felt like, we know something about this person that just can't quite, I'm scared, because, you know, we just saw Jesus crucified, but all of a sudden, there's Jesus in the flesh. I think that's kind of how the disciples felt, you know, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's Jesus, he's here. Well, Jesus, you know, comes alongside us in our experiences. And in those moments, you know, we truly recognize Jesus is there. I know when Jesus does come alongside us in the moment, you know, reflecting back on those moments, there's a whole lot of time that it takes for us sometimes to really recognize that Jesus is there. So if you look back in those hard times and you're like, man, I was trudging through this issue, whether it was somebody that you lost, or maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're dealing with children issues. When you're in that moment and your blinders are on and you're focused and you're trudging through whatever you're going on and you're like, man, you know, I'm praying. I'm like, okay, Jesus, where are you? You know, the truth be told, later in life, when you look back, you're like, oh, wow, Jesus was right there. He was right there walking with you the whole time. But sometimes when we're in those moments, we just don't see past the blinders. And when they come off after that time has passed, we see that Jesus was there all along. He was walking with us. Now, we had to be receptive to feel and know that he was there, and sometimes we feel like we're alone. And that's okay. But you know what Jesus does? He comes alongside us and he walks with us and he's there until we see him. He stays with us even after we've recognized him, but he's there in those moments. So when Jesus meets us in those moments, he's offering us love and grace. And he's basically telling us, hey, look, it's me. I'm here. See my wounds. I'm here with you. I love you. Just let me walk with you. Let me help you. Let me unburden your load. So another great example of this coming alongside, and we're still in the whole crucifixion story, is the story of Thomas. So here's a great example. You know, we all know Thomas was the doubter, right? Thomas always questioned everything. And we know that Thomas had told the disciples that even though they told him that they saw Jesus and that, you know, man, he's here, Thomas is like, I'm not going to believe it till I see him myself. I want my two eyes to see him before I believe. So in John, this is at the end of John in chapter 20, 8 days after the disciples were together again at this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly before them, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here in my hand. Put your hand in my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord, my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Jesus didn't chastise Thomas for not believing. He just simply said, "Here, I want you to believe. Touch me. I'm real." He didn't tell Thomas that you're an unfaithful disciple. He didn't say, "Get out of here, you don't understand." He just stood there in the moment and said, "I'm here. Look at me. I'm here." He met Thomas where he was, and he walked with him in that moment until Thomas could realize that it really was Jesus standing before him. I think when Jesus walks up and he matches our stride, sharing love and hope with us, it's an amazing thing. And so I know most of you, not everybody, knows that I've had a call to ministry. And big surprise, I know, for some of you out there. Part of my story that goes along with this so well was, you know, I was like you. I was an average churchgoer. I participated in church activities. I am doing life like we all do. And all of a sudden, in the moment, you know, God decides he wants you for ministry. So he called me to ministry. Honestly, I kind of felt like the disciples and the prophets in the Bible, you know, when God has that big ask, you know, "Hey, I want you to go into Egypt and free my people." This isn't one of quite that big of a moment. But, you know, when you're asked that big ask from God, your first response is like, "Oh, wait a minute, not me. No, I can't do that. I don't know, you know, I don't have the knowledge. I don't know what you're asking of me, God." And so there was that period, just like the disciples, where you're in shock, you're in denial. I honestly didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, I felt something happen. I honestly knew that I had been called, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I sat with it for a while, and I was like, you know, God, maybe not me. Maybe somebody else. Somebody else can do this job, surely. I don't have that skill. God's like, no, I chose you. And after a while of questioning and asking and you know, sitting with it for a while, it's like, okay, I might be scared. I might not know what tomorrow is going to bring. But you know what, God, you asked me. I'm going to sit with you for a while, and you know what? You're going to show me what's going to go on. So when I finally listened, stopped and listened, really listened to what God was trying to tell me. He's like, "I've got you. I'm here. I love you. You're a child of God. And whatever I ask, I know you can do." And it did take a while to get past that questioning phase. And it's okay, because you know what? Jesus is standing right there waiting for us to stop questioning. Or maybe Jesus is going to give us an answer of why. Why me? Why this situation? Why did this happen? Jesus is there. We just have to stop and listen and realize that he's there walking with us. He meets us every step of the way. We just kind of got to get out of our own way and say, okay, I got it, God. It's you. It's not me. So when I finally did that, I did hear Jesus. He showed me grace. He's like, "It's okay. You had some questions. Maybe you were a little scared, a little confused. It's all good. I've got you." So if we lean into that in whatever circumstance we're in, Jesus is right there waiting with his hand held out to us saying, "Take my hand. I've got you. We're going to walk together in this, and we're going to get through it. We'll all get through this if you just take my hand and walk with me." So the last thing that I, in my quiet time that I remember was, you know, Jesus said, "You are loved," almost like Simon Peter. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Do you really trust me to get you through this next step? And kind of like the situation with Simon Peter, who encountered the risen Savior in the experience that he met at that moment when he encountered Jesus. I know Peter, you know, he had denied Jesus 3 times during that period of time before his crucifixion. You know, I don't know Jesus. Nope, don't know Jesus. And Peter, the whole time he was with the disciples, was that gung-ho, on-fire guy for Jesus. He was Jesus' right-hand man. He was going to be the rock for the church. But he denied Jesus 3 times. And you can imagine, after he heard that rooster crow, how awful he felt. And then this whole period of after, when Jesus had risen from the dead, he wasn't in the tomb. We don't know where Jesus is. Peter's confused and he's ashamed. He's probably angry at himself. I know I would be if I was a follower of God. And I'm like, yes, Lord, yes, yes. Oh, wait, no. No, sorry. It really probably hit him. So in John, again, here's Simon Peter's encounter with Jesus. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. So knowing that Peter was already upset, and then Jesus asks him this 3 times, I think I'd have the same response. Wouldn't you agree that, okay, God, what, Jesus, 3? Really? Why? You know I love you. But the point was, he had denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus was asking 3 times to lift Peter up, to bring him back, to restore him back to being his whole self. In a sense, maybe giving him his confidence back. I am giving you grace. I'm giving you forgiveness. I understand you're human. You made a mistake. That's okay. I've got you. And if you look at the Bible, and some of you may not, and we don't because our Bible's in English, but the Greek translation, so our Bibles are mostly translated from Greek, the words in this story, if you really see what the Greek words are. So when Jesus is asking Peter that he loves, if Peter loves him, Jesus is talking about that agape love. Not the feeling like, I love you, but that feeling, that all-knowing, all-consuming, all-powerful God love. Like, Peter, do you agape me? Are you all in? Are you all consumed with me? Are you all in? But when Peter replies, it's more of a love from like that filial love, that brotherly love. Hey, I love you like a brother. But from Peter's standpoint, he had already made a mistake. He's still feeling that. He's like, you know, I, in my humanness, I can't make that commitment, Jesus. I love you, and I'll follow you, and I will do what you ask. But I can't quite bridge that gap. So I love you like a brother, knowing that I am still human and I know I'm going to make another mistake. So very interesting there that Peter can't respond in kind because of that. But Jesus said, you know what? You're loved, Peter, and you're going to do great things in your ministry. Jesus walked right alongside Peter and said, you know what? I'm here, and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to be here with you. You are going to live a long time. In fact, he even told Peter, if you read the rest of that, that he was going to live to be old. He was going to die of old age. Not very common for the disciples back then, if you know your Bible history. Most of them met some very unpleasant ends. But Jesus said, Peter, I have things for you to do. I need you to commit to me and be all in, but I'm here. Gave you grace. I love you. You are mine. Just accept it and let's walk together in this journey. So our challenge, and one of my favorite phrases, I know a lot of you have heard, you know, the phrase, to walk a mile in somebody's shoes. I think that's very appropriate for today's message, just in the fact that Jesus is interested in connection. Jesus is interested in shared experiences and coming alongside us, and he wants us to show people love and grace. So the question is for you, are you going to take the challenge to be a disciple of Christ? Will you walk beside another like Jesus is doing for you right now? Will you feed Jesus' sheep? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We are so blessed that you have sent him to walk beside us in thick and thin, Lord. We know what you have told us, that Jesus is here always with us to show us grace, to show us love, and to give us peace in those troubling times, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you join me in an affirmation of faith where we renew our faith as Christians? We believe in one God, creator of all life, maker of past, present, and future, Lord of all people and of all memories and hopes. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's word of grace and love made flesh, who came to declare good news to those in despair, to liberate both the oppressed and the oppressor, to proclaim God's mercy as our hope. We believe in God's Holy Spirit, who takes our shattered dreams and makes us whole again, who lifts our dying spirits and gives us courage, who resurrects us to new life. We believe that the church is of God and will endure to the end of time and calls us into a life of love and service. Now let's sing together, Jesus is All the World to Me. It's hymn number 469 if you'd like to use the hymnal.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by night and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's
such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's our friend.
Amen.
So this time we would like to offer our thanks to God by our gifts, our talents, our services. So as we listen to this wonderful music, be in prayer, feel offered to bring your offering up to the center baskets. Those of you that are online, feel free to give through Tithely online or mail your check to the church. Let's give thanks to God for all the good that he has done for us.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Bless these gifts that were offered today for the service of you, Lord, and your Son, Jesus Christ. May it go out into our community and out into our world to show the world that Jesus is alive. Amen.
Amen. Let's end our time of worship together with one of the great triumphant hymns in this book, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 327. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but His own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His pierced feet their flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
So there are several announcements that are in your bulletin. I ask that you check those out. I do know that the United Women in Faith are getting ready to start their spring rummage sale. So next Saturday, the 13th, you can drop your stuff off here at the church, I believe in the morning, Alice, I think, in the 8 to 2 on Saturday, and they will be taking donations Monday and Tuesday as well, and then the sale opens on Wednesday. So clean out those closets, you know, find all those goodies in the kitchen that you don't use and bring them in for the rummage sale. This is a great opportunity. That money goes to missions, and so we also help people in our community here. So help them out with that if you have some spring cleaning you need to do. Oh, and if anybody had ordered an Easter lily or anything, or would like a flower if you have not taken one, these lovely lilies here are up for grabs this morning. Otherwise, they are probably going to find their way to the dumpster. So you're going to plant them. You're going to plant them. Okay. So if they're left behind, Kathy says they're going to plant them. But if you would like an Easter lily to decorate your house, please feel free to take what is left up here. Otherwise, they will be planted. So join me for our benediction. Lord God, please bless everybody here this day. Lord, we know that You give us grace and peace and love in our walk of life, Lord. We know that You are here walking beside us every day. Help us see You so that we can take Your hand and walk side by side with You through life, Lord, the best way that we know how. Thank You for Your grace and forgiveness as we traverse this life, Lord. We know that we're going to make mistakes, Lord, but with You, anything is possible. In Your name we pray, amen.
Amen.